Good evening, everyone.
I was sitting in my cubicle at work, going over my notes one more time, praying one more time, and I was thinking to myself, or reminding myself of the day Pastor sent a text message out to all the deacons. He said, I'm going to be gone. I've got Sundays covered. I have two Wednesdays I need covered. Okay? Immediately, I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, let somebody else do it. Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it, but Lord, let somebody else do it. So I was waiting. Delbert said, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, come on, one more. Okay. But I did say, God, if you want me to do it, let it be known to me in a way I can't misunderstand. And I waited and I waited. And I'm working the whole time now and praying and looking at my phone because it's sitting right next to me. Pastor sent another message. And one more Wednesday, I said, okay, I'll do it. And a peace came over to me. But I was still going, can't somebody else do it? This aren't teenagers. I can do teenager. Okay? Now, I say that to bring this up. Spiritually, I'm this many. Okay? And in about 10 days, I'll be this many. See, August 20th, 2009, at my dining room table with Pastor Newman and Mrs. Newman, I got saved and started coming to this church and I've been blessed. My family has been blessed. Okay? So I've tried to use the things that I've been learning to help teenagers. Okay? Now, remember, I'm this many. All right? That's important because, you know, when kids are about that many, they question everything. You tell them to do something, why? Why do this? How do I do that? Where do babies come from? Why is the sky blue? You don't understand. You understand what I'm talking about. I do the same thing. I don't take anybody's word for anything, especially when it comes to the Bible, because I've heard things in my life that didn't make sense. Okay? So I question everything, and I know, okay, where do I go to get the answers I need? Well, obviously, we can go to the Bible. You see, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? And that's obvious. We all know this, right? Okay. One thing that I've learned as I've been going through the Bible, as I've been talking to people, is context. The pastor's big on context. Make sure you understand what context means. Okay? Context is key to understanding whatever you see in the Bible. Okay? Whatever message you're looking at, whatever scripture verse you're looking at, you need the context to truly understand what God is trying to say. Okay? Now, one thing, context gives clarity. Context gives clarity. Okay? We can look at anything in the Bible and say, all right, I read this. I don't understand what it means. You ever been through Leviticus? I've tried to get through Leviticus, but every time I start reading, like that, because I don't understand anything it says. Okay? So I need to read the stuff before that to understand what God is trying to say there. And then later on, he'll give you even more. Now, we all know what can happen when we don't read something in context. Some verse, some passage can be saying one thing, but we're taking it a completely different way. All right? One in particular is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, that verse sounds pretty good, right? It does, doesn't it? It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Okay, God's thinking about us. He's got a plan for us. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. We're not going to get hurt. To give you an expected end, hope and a future, a clear future. Okay, this sounds like a verse that you could plaster up on your wall. You know, right there next to, oh, what is it? Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. We all have that on our wall, don't we? This one you could put right next to it. I know that there are companies that actually sell motivational posters that have that verse on it.
But what is God actually saying in this verse? You know, the Jews at this time were in Babylon. They weren't even in Jerusalem. They were in Babylon, captive in Babylon. And if you go back to verse 10, you'll see what God's talking about. Verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Now, when you look at it that way, you're like, 70 years? And then I get to go home? Well, I'll be dead in 70 years. But what God is saying here is, you did wrong. And there are consequences when you do wrong. But I will not forget you. And I will see an end to that suffering. But you still have to face the consequences. That's a very different thing than what's on your wall, isn't it? Context. Now, everyone looking at that verse has a clear understanding of what God's trying to say there. Another one. Context sets boundaries. Now, as I was working through this, I thought, okay, boundaries. We're supposed to be free in God, and we are. I totally believe that. But Scripture sets boundaries on our life. It says, okay, this is where you walk. If you want to be right with me, this is how you walk. Boundaries. Because the road to heaven is slim, because we've got to go through Christ, no other way. But the road to damnation is wide. Okay? Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, this is a very important set of scriptures to me. It talks about the home, talks about the family. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 22. Okay? "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." For hundreds of years, Christian men have used those three verses to subjugate their wives. Women in general. Because that's God's will. "Woman, submit to me. It's going to be this way. I am the Lord of this house. This is my kingdom. And this is my will." Now, if you keep going, it paints a different picture. Okay? Verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. That he loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." As a husband, I have a hard time. Thank you, Bob. I have a hard time reading that without getting teary-eyed. Because that's how I'm supposed to treat my wife, as Christ loved the church. I can't get past love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I know what Jesus did for the church. He died on the cross. And in God's eyes, that is what I, as a husband, am supposed to do for my wife. So, when you look at 22 through 24 and you say, okay, wife, submit to your husband. But then you continue and look, okay, husband, you're supposed to love your wife. She's supposed to be the most important person that walks this earth to you. When she is what's important to you, when every decision that you make is for her benefit, not yours, for her benefit, then she'll have no problem whatsoever submitting to you. Because she knows that your every thought is to her welfare. That's important. how much traction do you think Women's Lib would have had if every man thought of his wife that way? How many homes would be whole if men thought that way about their wives? How many children could be raised in a home with two loving parents, a man and a woman, where the man loves, truly loves his wife? I'm from a broken home. I'm from a series of broken homes. I understand what it means when this isn't followed. And it's hard for me sometimes to think about what my past was like. Hard. Because I didn't understand this. See, context is everything. It sets those boundaries for us. Husbands, love your wives. And wives, yes, submit to your husbands. That's important too. So, context shows us clarity, gives us clarity, sets boundaries. But context also offers hope. Now, this whole thing for me started with a simple email. I was sitting at work, and I get emails from, you know, Family Christian Bookstore, something like that. And it was an advertisement for a Christian-themed sports apparel company. And I thought, okay, you know, it's kind of cool. And it started with a pro basketball player, or former pro basketball player, something like that. He was a Christian. He wanted to do something like this. Great. So I started looking through the things. You know, they have the little wristbands that they wear, little shorts and T-shirts, and $35 for a T-shirt, I didn't think so, but give the benefit of the doubt. You know, little sayings on them, you know, in Christ's name I play, that kind of thing. But then one T-shirt popped up, and it said, I can do all things through Christ. And it bothered me, and I wasn't sure why. I kept looking at it, and it just, I don't know, I just couldn't get over it. It's like, this bothers me. So I looked at Sandy, and I said, it bothered me. She goes, well, it's true. I said, well, yeah, it's true, but, you know, something about it bothered me. So what did I do? I wanted to know context. What was Paul saying when he wrote that? Okay, so turn your Bibles to Philippians 4. Now, as I said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We all know the verse, right? And is it true? Well, yes, it's Jesus Christ. You know, he died and rose again. He healed Lazarus. You know, he calmed the seas. You know, told the weather, the storm over the sea to be calm. I mean, he did all those things. He can heal people. I mean, a woman was healed of her blood disorder by touching his cloak. I'm thinking we can do anything through Christ. But in this letter that Paul wrote to the people in Philippi, what was he trying to say? So if we look at Philippians chapter 4, let's start at 11 to get a good idea of where we're at here. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay. Now, looking through that lens, through verse 11 and verse 12, looking at verse 13, Paul's talking about contentment. Now, what's going on here? Well, Paul's in prison, and he's writing to the church in Philippi who'd always supported him. But for some reason, they couldn't. But now they were able to send Epaphroditus to him, and they were able to do some things for him. And he's thanking them, but also telling them he's learned to do without when he had to. But he also knew how to be humble when he had everything. So he's saying, I can be content even when I have nothing or when I have everything because God gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can be humble I can be meek. I could be wanting and still be content because Christ gives me that strength. It's a very different picture than what we see. And I've heard that. I've heard this verse for a long time. I was 34 when I got saved. So I know I didn't always see it through the lens of Scripture. And we all know that in order to truly understand the Bible, we have to be saved. We need the Spirit indwelling in us to understand some of the Scripture, right? So I heard this verse. And it makes sense when you think, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You hear everyone say it. You think, okay, I can run this marathon because I can do all things through Christ. I can drive this car real fast because I can do all things through Christ. I can sweat. You know, we're going through the Olympics right now. And I know a few of them are Christians. And they're thinking to themselves, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, as they're swimming or whatever the case might be. And yes, that is true. But it's dangerous when we take a scripture verse and apply it to something that's very different. We have to truly understand what God is telling us. Because even though Paul wrote this, God influenced him to write this. Paul didn't do it himself. God did. It's as if God took Paul's hand and wrote the letter. Now, right now, Pastor Cody's going through a Bible lesson on behavior with the teenagers. And a couple of weeks ago, as he was going through it, he was talking about how the teenagers as Christians are an influence to the people around them, Christian and non-Christian alike. And something struck me, because when we're acting the wrong way or we're giving the wrong message, if we are misquoting verses to someone who isn't a Christian who doesn't understand, what do you think is going to happen? See, we can, if we're wrong, we can always go back and say, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he will. I mean, we're already going to heaven. But what if that person that you're misquoting the scripture to isn't a Christian and they get the wrong idea in their head? They may never get to heaven. Now, that's the worst case scenario, but it could happen. If we do something wrong and it influences someone else, they could never, possibly, never get to heaven. And we'd have something to do with it. It may not be our fault completely, but we're going to be held accountable for it because God will know, you misquoted my word here. And this person believed you. And now they're going to hell. Please think about it. Be aware of it. Always make sure that when you are quoting something to someone or you're telling something to someone, that you're doing it, number one, in the right way. You know how pastor's been talking about doing everything lovingly. But we also have to make sure that when we're quoting anything to them, that we're quoting it correctly. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and separate into our